Happy Easter to everyone. We're still in Easter. You're like, no, that was last Sunday. No, we are still in Easter. We're in the octave of Easter still. And then we have a whole season to reflect and to go deeper into the mystery of the resurrection. Because brothers and sisters, that resurrection changes everything. I'll say that again. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. But here's what it doesn't do. The resurrection doesn't eliminate trial or difficulty or suffering or even death. I said eliminate. What the resurrection does is change everything, including trial and difficulty and suffering, and yes, even and most especially, death. So with that, let's get into tonight's gospel. The first line, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Everything about that sentence is significant. In fact, after this Mass, either tonight or sometime tomorrow, you should go back to this gospel. And you should sit with it and let the Lord speak to your heart. But what do we see right away? That the risen Lord is not shut out by barriers, external and internal. Jesus passes right through those barriers, the locked doors, and he enters right into the place of fear. The apostles had locked the doors and closed themselves inside because they were afraid, and rightly so. But Jesus is not afraid of those barriers. He is not held back by them. He passes right through them. Note that he doesn't wait for the apostles to regain their courage. Or even to reflect on their failures, Jesus doesn't wait for them. He goes right to them. Friends, he doesn't wait for us either. Jesus is really consistent. Just as he came and sought us out in the incarnation, so too he comes and seeks us out in the resurrection. He doesn't wait for us to figure it out. He doesn't wait for us to prepare ourselves and get ready. He comes to us. The initiative is his, always. And when he does come to the apostles and to us, he does three things. He speaks peace, he shows them his wounds, and he gives them a mission. The first, he says to them, peace be with you. And the apostles dutifully respond, and with your spirit. No, just kidding. See with you're with us. Are you awake tonight? Jesus says, peace be with you. His peace is hugely significant. Jesus has talked about it before. Earlier in John's gospel, he says this. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it. So do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The peace of Jesus, that is a different type of peace. A few years back, I was leading pilgrimage for Carroll College students, and we went to Assisi, and we went up to the place where St. Francis spent most of his time in spiritual preparation. It's a place above the city of Assisi called the Hermitage. We went there. There's always a friar or a Franciscan sister who would meet our group and give a tour. We walked in, and here was this Franciscan sister, a German, who was in Italy for a year doing some service and serving at that Hermitage. Her name was Sister Angela. And I'll never forget her because her eyes were electrified blue. Not just blue-eyed, but like crackling with life. And when I first met her, I was like, these kids have no idea what they're going to get. This is going to be good. So normally what happens is this. The friar would, or the sister would explain the history of the place where Francis first went with his first followers, and then how it became more and more of like the edifices and the buildings that we see now. And then they would talk a little bit about his spirituality. She took like 30 seconds to talk about the history of the place. Basically, Francis came here, he prayed here, and this is what we have now. And then she looked at those kids as they sat down, and she said, I want to talk to you about the spiritual life. And I'm sitting there going like, this is going to be good. And she said, did you notice the sign when you entered into this hermitage? Because there's a gateway, and above the gateway, there's a sign that says, Ubi Deus, Ibi Pax. Where there is God, there is peace. And the students, yes, we saw the sign. She said, I want to talk to you about the peace of God. And she said, that peace is not like any peace the world gives, quoting Jesus. But then she said this line, the peace of God is the peace that comes after having fought and won. That's a line worth remembering. The peace of God is the peace that comes after having fought and won. What are we celebrating right now in this Easter season? That Jesus has fought and won. That's what Easter is all about. That Jesus came and fought for us, and he won. His victory is certain. And that's the peace that he offers to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since it's not our peace, since it's not a manufacturing of our own work, since it's Jesus' peace, our peace should be strong and certain. Second, Jesus shows his wounds. What a gift to know that we have a God who doesn't absent himself from the fight. That Jesus bears wounds for our sake. Those wounds heal us. Isaiah writes, by his wounds we are healed. And Jesus didn't leave those wounds behind when he rose. He bears those wounds for our sake proudly. They're a sign of his victory and a source of our healing. He didn't absent himself from the fight. But this is significant for us too, because friends, if we follow him, we will not be allowed to absent ourselves from the fight. Jesus says that in so many ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself, lose yourself for my sake and the sake of the kingdom. He says it more directly in John. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus doesn't save the apostles from the threats of the world. All of them except John die martyrs' deaths. I don't know if you knew this, but our first 33 popes were all killed for their faith. Think about that. Jesus doesn't save them from trial or difficulty or suffering or even death. What he saves them from is their fear of trial and difficulty and suffering and even death. They become bold and free men who know that their real home isn't on this earth, but that they are citizens of heaven. And so whatever they face in this earth is nothing compared to the glory that will come as they go to their true home. Look at the transformation in the apostles, locked in fear, hiding from the Jews. And then after this encounter with the risen Lord and the gift of the Spirit, going forth boldly to proclaim the gospel, unafraid of trial or difficulty or suffering or even death. Read the Acts of the Apostles if you don't believe me. Contact with the wounds of Christ. the one who shows his wounds. It's contact with those wounds that gives the apostles courage. And so too for you and me. As we get close to the wounds of Christ, we gain courage because we know that his victory is certain. Thirdly and lastly, Jesus gives them a mission. He says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. See, Jesus co-involves them. He co-missions them. And so to us. Because the church, it's not that we just have a mission. The church is a mission. We don't just have one. We are one. Our mission, it's to continue what Jesus began and bring it into reality now. And he wants to use you and me to do that. I said in a homily months ago that the church is the continuation of the incarnation across space and time. Okay, it's our space and it's our time now. And Jesus wants hearts who are ready to be right with him in the mission of what he is doing. But with every mission, there's a choice. The apostles are free. They have to choose. And just for a second, think about that choice. They just saw Jesus killed. And Jesus was God. And they are not. Those enemies that killed Jesus are still out there, not far from the boundary of the locked doors of the upper room. And they have to choose. Or better yet, they have to fight a battle. And not a battle externally, but a harder one, the one inside. Because the great battle that they face and that we face is this one. It's at the level of the human heart. And it's not a battle between love or hate. It's a battle between trust or fear. They have to choose whether or not they will trust Jesus with all of their lives, or if they will fall back in fear and try to protect themselves. But to trust Jesus means leaving the pseudo-safety of the locked room. That place isn't safe, even though it looks like it might be. So they have to trust. They have to risk. And so do we. Where do you need to trust Jesus tonight? What pseudo-safety do you look for in your own spiritually locked room? Where is the Lord inviting you to trust him and then leave that safety? You have a choice. Trust versus fear. And this is what happens. If you choose to trust Jesus, the place of fear becomes the birthplace of mission and purpose. That's exactly what happened for the apostles. The place of fear becomes the birthplace for mission and purpose. It's true for them, it's true for us. And we were made for that mission. So my friends, know the closeness of the risen Lord in these Easter days. May Jesus come to you, especially where you are most afraid. Let him speak his peace to you. Let his wounds give you courage. And let him send you on the great mission of the Christian life.